We call this meeting of Tacoma's Landmarks Preservation Commission to order for February 26th, 2020. And we'll begin our meeting with the acknowledgement that we're holding this meeting on the traditional lands of the Puyallup Tribe of Indians. We have our roll call, folks that are in the room right now. We have commissioners Jaggers, Cade, Stewart, Morgan Roth, Hilsendegger, Hart, Johnson, and Bartoy are all present. We'll move to our consent agenda. Are there any additions to the consent agenda? Hearing none, is there any objection with moving the consent agenda forward by unanimous consent? Hearing no objection, it is so moved. We'll excuse our absences for this evening. We have a few. Commissioner Slessor, Sundstrom, and Williams are excused this evening. Move on to the approval of the minutes from our last meeting of February 12th, 2020. So are there any corrections to the minutes from February 12th? Hearing no correction, is there any objection to approving the minutes by unanimous consent? Hearing no objections, they are so moved. And noting that we had one administrative review during our absence with each other over the past 2 weeks. So it was at 1721 Jefferson Avenue. We'll move on to public hearing for the amendments to the bylaws and the bylaws and inventory. So that's the amendments to the North Slope and Wedge Neighborhood Historic Design Guidelines. So I'm going to officially open up the public hearing for the amendments to the North Slope and Wedge Neighborhood Historic District Design Guidelines and ask the illustrious Reuben McKnight for a report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this is amendments to the design guidelines under the bylaws and inventory of the Wedge and the North Slope Historic Districts. The Tacoma Municipal Code Historic Preservation Section, Chapter 1307, requires the Commission to adopt and maintain an inventory of historically contributing and non-contributing properties as well as district guidelines to guide the design review process. Exterior alterations to contributing properties require the approval of the Commission prior to the issuance of building permits. The Commission is allowed to review and amend inventories and guidelines once on an annual basis, and so this is this year's a review of the guidelines. So what's proposed, as far as the Commission's bylaws, there are no proposed changes, and there are no proposed changes to the historic district inventories. However, for the design guidelines, there are amendments that are suggested by this Commission in three areas. And they're up on the screen here. I know it's probably a little bit hard to read. I certainly can't read it with my reading glasses on, but the first is guidance for the installation of solar equipment on historic buildings. The second is guidance for accessory structures, including garages and attached accessory dwelling units. And thirdly is additional clarification for window details on new construction. And so I'm going to just basically walk through the set of amendments here. There are not very many, so I think it'd be okay if I just walk through them for everybody's benefit. So on page 17 of the historic district design guidelines, there's roof and roof shapes, and under that is solar panels. And the new language recommended, which is right here, is roof-mounted solar equipment should be located in a manner that reduces its visual impact to the extent practicable. Solar installations should not obscure character-defining architectural features, and installations in the primary facade are discouraged. To be appropriate for the historic district, solar installations should balance performance with architectural compatibility. Moving on to page 20, under garages and parking, accessory structures and detached accessory dwelling units is the subject. We have a title change from garages and parkings to accessory structures and parking. Under item 2, minimize views, add the following language. New accessory structures should be clearly subservient to the primary structure on the lot. Item 5, to read, new accessory structures such as garages and detached accessory dwelling units should utilize a similar material palette and configuration to the historic primary structures on the lot. New accessory structures should meet the guidelines for new construction, exterior materials, windows, roof form and shape. Garages and accessory structures should orient vehicle doors to the alley when possible and maintain a simple roof plan. And then item 6, I'm going to scroll down a little bit here, if I can. Conversion of accessory structures. Accessory structures that are converted to residential use should retain the exterior visual characteristics of the historic accessory structure, including door and window configuration, cladding materials and form, added features such as porches, exterior staircases, and new window or door openings should be located to be minimally visible from public rights of way. That concludes the accessory structure section. And then thirdly, the windows, item three, window configuration and detail. The bottom section is the section that is germane here, and it is. Commonly, windows were also surrounded with substantial head trim pieces, or substantial trim pieces or window head trim, and new window trim should utilize historic detail patterns. These may include crown molding, except where headers are engaged with the belly band or cornice, substantial projecting sills with aprons, and windows that are recessed or punched in so that the window sash and frame does not project beyond the wall plane. Design submittals for new structures shall include window trim details. And then lastly, item four, to read window materials, adding detached accessory dwelling unit to that definition. And the window detail component of this really comes out of some feeling from commissioners in the past that there have not been substantial or adequate attention paid to the window detailing, architectural detailing for openings on new construction in the historic district. And so this is an attempt to specify exactly what is expected for those. On February 18th, 2020, the North Slope Historic District submitted a letter in support of the proposed changes. The effects of this for properties within the district, future design proposals will be evaluated using the amended design guidelines. Properties adjacent to but outside of the historic districts are not affected by these amendments. And the action requested is following the close of the public hearing, the commission should review public testimony and take action to approve, amend, or deny the proposed changes no sooner than its regularly scheduled next meeting.
Great.
That concludes my report.
Thank you, sir. So I am going to call upon folks who came for the public hearing. I know this is often confusing, so sometimes we get people signing in who aren't necessarily here for this item, but I will just go through this list, and then if you didn't put your name on the list, don't worry. We'll ask if there are others here who wanted to provide public comment. So the first person on the list is Curtis Costner. No worries. No comment. Okay. Mike Batez.
I'm right here. My questions have been answered in the gentleman's brief.
Oh, okay. You. Sure. Andy Wagner.
Yes. I have comments regarding the solar panels.
Okay.
Could you go back, scroll back to it?
Sure.
So I believe that solar panels would, to be effective, would have to be placed on the south face of the house, or possibly barring that on the west face of the house. And my worry here is that this makes it so that anybody whose house faces south, whose house faces the street on the south, will not be able to put solar panels up, whereas people who face north on the street will be able to put them up because they will face their backyards. Is there a way to rewrite this so that it makes it clear that those people who do face south or face west can put them up in a way that it says would be discouraged on the primary facade?
They are. So I'll go ahead and just provide some background, if that's okay.
Yeah.
To the comments that were made as this went through commission. So that was one of the concerns. We've recently had a year ago now, had a review in the North Slope of a house that put solar panels on there, and the discussion came up about the exactly that point, the effectiveness and efficiency of the panels and their location on the house. I think that the commission's discussion in that regard, the language that's in there about extent practicable in the first line, was to address that issue. The discouraged part, I guess that was a general, not denied, I should say, but discouraged. So it's not excluding them necessarily with that language. And then I think the last line is the one that was trying to address the comment that you're making, balancing the performance with the architectural compatibility.
Well, extent practical. Sorry. it's not practical. I mean, it's really not practical to put it on the north face of a house. So why not specifically say, since it's not practical to put it on the north face of a house, that it should be on the south or on the west side? I mean, why not put it in there in such language? Why not be so specific? I believe later on down below, you were trying to be specific with the windows for people. The additions to the window information, mm-hmm. you said that that was done to make it very clear what they could and couldn't do. But here, you're not being very clear, I think, with what you can and cannot do.
Okay.
You also said that the word discouraged, sorry, I keep doing my finger in front of your face. The word discouraged there is to address that also, that it's discouraged, but not that you're saying no, that you can't put it on the south side. There's language elsewhere in the guidelines that says discouraged to raise the roof line. How often have you allowed a roof line to actually be raised?
I don't know that information.
In which case, I would say discouraged actually in this case may mean it won't be allowed. If you've never allowed the discouraged roof line to be raised, then you'll never allow a solar panel to put on a south side.
We have allowed roof lines to be raised.
How many times have I'm actually
well,
curious.
Well, not very many people
right.
ask for that. I can think of two or three in quite a few years that have asked, and maybe one was totally denied. But with those roof lines that were raised, we had stipulations about how it was done so that it didn't just look like a great big old mobile home on top of a house. Mm-hmm. You know, it has to be done appropriately. And I think the idea here is that if somebody really absolutely wants to put solar on a south-facing or west-facing side, it can't be blatant and all over the roof. It has to be kind of tucked away, if possible. See, each case
right.
is taken case by case. And that one that Commissioner Bartoli was talking about, it ended up on the south side. The panels there.
And I think the reason we added the language to the extent practicable, really it does address your concern, because practicable has some legal definition. And so if what the commission required didn't meet the purpose of what you were doing, which is to generate solar energy for your home, then the proposal wouldn't be practicable and it would have to go somewhere else on the house. So I think we intended that to allow the flexibility for situations in which the place where the solar panel might look the best simply isn't practicable because it doesn't generate the energy.
So what I would suggest is I'm taking notes on these comments as we go, and then at the next commission meeting, we'll have a summary of these, of the comments that have been received, and the commission can go through the comments and determine whether or not there's adjustments or changes that need to be made in response to those comments to address the concerns they hear at the hearing tonight. Mm. And that would be my suggestion.
That sounds good.
Any further comments?
I guess a third point would be that if we'll do it. Okay.
Tina Friedrich.
So yeah, my concerns are pretty similar. One with the discouraged, we made an experience where we wanted to raise the roof line a couple of feet, and that was denied. So we assume that this would mean, you know, that similar proposals would be denied. I'm making the same point that you're making. And yeah, I find it very difficult in today's time, so enough planning changes are happening to discourage people to try to maybe identify how they can get those, you know, produce energy. And very difficult to try and just drive it a bit with the storage if you move it unlocated to the I understood if you had intricate features on your roof, but if it's just a simple roof with asphalt shingles, that, I don't know. Again, if there were different materials and there was some really something special about it, I could maybe understand it, that it would need to be, you know, protected from the upping solar panels, but if it's just a regular asphalt shingles roof, I don't think you don't use the shape of the roof by putting solar panels on it. And I think really in four times it should be encouraged, and it's within the, you know, city sustainability, the 5-year plan, trying to, you know, have long solar panels within the city.
Thank you. Was there anyone else who wanted to provide a comment on the amendments? No? Okay. Then I guess we actually do invite commission comments, unless we wanted to defer to the next meeting.
What I would suggest is the commission take the comments they've received, and then we'll write them up in a report fashion. And then at the next meeting, the commission can review the testimony it's received and discuss the, you know, which amendments may need to be changed, or if the slate goes forward as it is. I'd hold it over till the next meeting.
Okay, that sounds good. I want to... there's no one else from the public to provide comment. There was one item in here I wanted to bring before the commission while it was still open for public hearing. There's one potential edit under this item where the cursor is now, where it says garages and accessory structures. This was something that I know the commission was wordsmithing the last time, kind of accessory structures as an umbrella term. I'm wondering if and accessory structures should be deleted from that sentence.
I think it would be more clear if it was deleted.
I agree.
Because it still looks like garages and accessory structures are two different things.
That's what I was
because,
wondering.
Yeah, sentence one says new accessory structures such as a garage. So garage is defined as an accessory structure. So then to say garage and accessory structure breaks them as two separate entities, whereas so it's a contradiction of sentence one.
Okay. So I think that'll be another thing. I just wanted to do that in the public hearing.
Okay.
And then we can bring that up at the session we have at the next meeting then. Great. Awesome. And I will close the public hearing. And thank everyone from the public who provided comments. We really appreciate you coming in and providing those awareness.
Thank you.
Moving forward, we have a design review. I should mention that Commissioner Mortensen has entered the building, not opened the building, but entered the building. We have a design review for 5 South G Merrill Gardens.
So, Mr. Chair, we're going to take a minute to set up.
We're going to take a minute.
Do you want me to move to the other side?
Good. I think we're going to try this.
Oh, try there.
Good. Mr. Ruben McKnight, have a staff report.
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this is 5 South G Street. This is new construction, Merrill Gardens. There'll be a presentation shortly. So this proposal is for preliminary approval, actually recommendation for approval for new construction of a 90-foot tall, 134-foot by 234-foot assisted living facility at the site of the former Scottish Rite Temple, which was demolished in 2017. The building at the time was determined eligible for designation to the National and Tacoma Registers of Historic Places, but it was not listed on any historic register. Because of the site's location within the downtown subarea and because of its historic significance, a cultural resource management plan was drafted, which identified anticipated adverse effects to historic properties as well as a mitigation plan. The attached architectural design package relates to condition 7, and I think the hopefully the report is that the cultural resources management plan is in your packet. And the interpretive panels and panel text relate to condition 3 of the 2017 plan. Approval of the historic preservation officer is required for projects adjacent to designated city landmarks within the downtown residential zone, which this is in. On August 28, 2019, the commission was briefed on this project and provided feedback. And the following revisions are in response to that feedback provided by the commission. First is the brick masonry of the northwest corner of the building along South G Street was brought down to the street level to enhance the streetscape experience while viewing the historic interpretive panels. Secondly, to break up the massing of the stair tower at the northwest corner of the site, windows were added to create a more interesting composition. Thirdly, lap siding has been increased from a 6-inch exposure to an 8-inch exposure throughout. Fourth, the stair tower siding at the northwest corner of the site has been revised from lap siding to fiber cement panel siding. And fifth, paint colors have been changed to warmer tones and an overall much darker color. The action requested of the commission, this is an advisory review, which is kind of uncommon for this commission. Because it is subject to historic preservation officer review because of the downtown residential zone and because of the cultural resources management plan that was adopted, this design review, I'm seeking the commission's input because of the interest and profile of the site. So the recommendation to the historic preservation officer regarding the approval of the architectural design package, which will be presented today, and secondly, a recommendation regarding the approval of the interpretive panel design. The standards, there are standards noted in the package, additional standards applicable to development within downtown residential district. Where new or substantially altered development is adjacent to structures or districts that are designated historic, the design shall make use of similar attributes such as massing, roof line setbacks from the property lines, window types, and materials to ensure visual continuity between the older and the newer development and be subject to the approval of the historic preservation officer. The analysis, in accordance with TMC 1312570, this development is subject to the conditions listed in the CRMP, which include but are not limited to DEHP level 2 documentation of the demolished Scottish Rite Temple, which was completed, salvage and reuse of the historic organ, 3 to 5 interpretive panels, which are before the commission today, a monitoring and inadvertent discovery plan, a $10,000 donation to Historic Tacoma, which was made, and the new construction design submitted for review under the requirements of the downtown residential zone. Secondly, the new building would be set back to maintain the views to and from Wright Park and First Presbyterian. You can see the massing there and you can see the church behind it there. Three, the proposed materials and material configuration blend the new with the elements from the surrounding historic masonry buildings. Four, according to the commission's feedback, windows were added to break up the massing of the stair tower. Fifthly, the ground floor and interpretive panels maintain the pedestrian-friendly streetscape. And six, as requested by the commission, the paint colors have been changed to warmer, darker colors. Staff has reviewed the submittal and finds that it meets the commission's recommendation. And so that concludes my staff report.
Great, thank you. I'll hand it over to the applicant.
Not sure I need to say much there. Ruben wrapped that up pretty well. So yeah, last time during our recommendation meeting, Commissioner Williams had suggested going from, originally we had a lighter color palette for the upper portion of the building. We still had the brick masonry and concrete. The brick is trying to be a similar brick to what's on the church currently. And so Commissioner Williams had suggested going with a darker and warmer color scheme to try to detract less from the church so it isn't as contrasting with the color palette of the church. And so we changed to a darker brown. You can see the colors on the board there behind you. So the color on the far right is the majority of the building there. The lighter gray color is the color that would be on the lap siding in these areas. Elevation here. So the lighter gray is that lap siding, and then that light tan color is this window detail connecting the upper portion windows. And then within the brick, we've got natural color brick for the sill coursing and a header course that had otherwise been closed. Additionally, during the last meeting, Commissioner Sundstrom wanted the brick on this west facade to come down and provide a friendlier streetscape for the location of the historical interpretive panels. And then additionally, there was a concern with the stair tower here on the west side. Previously, we had it as lap siding, so we switched it to a fiber cement panel and added some windows to provide a little bit more composition to that. And that's how we addressed all the comments from the previous meeting. If you guys have any questions,
yeah, we can. Did you want to do the interpretive panels at the same time?
Yeah,
and then why don't we present that, and then we'll open it up to commission comments and questions.
So not much has changed on the interpretive panel since last time. The main thing was we answered some of your questions. There were a couple questions about making sure the name was correct, temple versus cathedral, and also making sure that the text was accessible. The size of the text, even though on the panels, it's hard to tell because the digital rendering versus how it's going to be life size is challenging, but the size will be easy to read. But we also worked with our editor for a while to really try to get it down to an eighth grade reading level as best as possible. It can be challenging with those kind of formats with specific names to get a really close read on it actually being eighth grade, but we got it as close as possible to make it more readable and interesting. And then I think we swapped out one image for something that was more interesting image and connected better with the text. And so then once we have approval from you, we'll go through the permissions process with the Tacoma Public Library to make sure. And then those will all be captioned, so everyone will know how to access those images if they want them themselves and give credit where credit is due. But otherwise, they should look very similar to how they looked last time for you guys.
Great. Thank you. And I'll open it up to commission comments and questions.
I had a question about the panels, mm-hmm. the interpretive panels. I may have missed this in the packet, but what will they be made out of or printed on?
Let's see, it was
It was, so Lance Kagey with Rotator Creative, it did the design, and he is going to work with the fabricator who did the panels in Wright Park. So it's that same, I think, a base enamel finish. So they'll last a long time, be high quality, and then they won't fade, and the colors will stay vibrant for quite a long time.
Okay. Yeah. That was what my question was how would they handle the weather? Would it wear off or fade?
Yes. Okay. So that's why he specifically wanted to go with this fabricator in Olympia who is known for doing those kinds of panels, and the Wright Park ones are a great example.
Is it Windsor? Tom Warner?
Of course you would ask. I told Lance he didn't need to come, and then you asked me the question that I don't know off the top of my head.
It's porcelain, steel, enamel.
Yes, yeah. Yeah,
we have a similar construction parallel works class.
Yeah.
Was there a chip?
The chip would be tightened too much because of glass. I mean, there's enamel, mm-hmm. the porcelain enamel can crack if it's bent.
Is there a plan to replace them if they were to? I mean, is that part of the? I mean, if you get a sign up there that starts to degrade for whatever reason,
We might look into providing more of a protection for them. I guess if there's concern, like if they can't be bent or like if there's any chance of, I mean, because they will be within reach, so they could be subject to like graffiti or something. So possibly providing some kind of protection that could be replaced. Economical solution than replacing the whole panel itself. But we can look into that.
I'd be concerned if they just knowing mm-hmm. how some people are with nice things, that if they get damaged or graffitied, that if there's some kind of plan in place to take care of it quickly so it doesn't happen over and over. Yeah.
And I think the type of panel that's proposed is one that
is meant to be in public spaces, so recognizing that it that can happen so that it would be able to be taken care of quickly instead of it. You spent all this money and now it's ruined.
And the company will keep the photo ready materials for backup, and then and the porcelain steel, I mean, that's one of the reasons why we use it. You can't bend it, but in a panel like this is not going to get bent likely, and they are very, very durable and very, very stable.
While we're on panels, if I can, I was wondering if on your presentation on page 16, at least what came in the packet here, I was just wondering if you could explain, it shows the location of the panels. And I was just trying to figure out, it looks like there's ghosts, like windows or something behind them.
Yeah, that is.
Is that just a misrendering?
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are the old panels, actually.
Locations.
That was something artsy or something.
Because they were originally spread out longer, and then you guys asked for them to be clustered on that brick.
Okay.
I think it looks a lot better, personally. I also think, while we're talking about the composition, it seemed like a small thing when we were at our previous meeting, the colors, some of the brick location, but based on the renderings, I actually think it looks a lot nicer, and it does definitely looks subservient to the church behind it, which I think was the commission's main concern during the last meeting. And I also think you did a really nice job with the tower and the additional windows. It just kind of makes it not kind of stick out as much in comparison to the rest of the facades and components of the building. So I really appreciate your attention to those changes, and I think we've been very successful. Then I had a quick question for Ruben about what preliminary approval actually means, and if we'll be seeing this again before work continues, or
not unless the commission feels very, very strongly about some design element that needs to change. The preliminary, I mean, the language here is kind of funny because this is an uncommon type of review for this commission,
right.
Which is, I mean, and I'll say usually in DR, you know, DR zone, the projects are fairly minor and they're also fairly rare because it's pretty built out. And so the code requires adjacency review, but it's a very, very short section in the code. But because of the ongoing dialogue with this site, it's, you know, in my opinion, of sufficient public interest to have a public review of it. But it's, in terms of preliminary review, I mean, obviously for me, you know, the mechanics of it is a final review for me will be in permitting. And so really all I'm seeking from the commission is feedback and an advisory, capacity. And I don't, I mean, there's actually language in here for motion as well, but it's not necessary by the code.
Thank you for the question.
I think that's something Ruben and I had talked about beforehand, that probably what came out in the staff report probably isn't really reflective of what is before us. Like I don't really see a need for any kind of approval, because it really is the commission giving recommendations to Ruben to make those decisions and moving forward, rather than us having any type of formal approval of the
right.
of the
process. Right. Thank you.
I guess my one comment, I think it's a beautiful building. I was not privy to the previous conversation, so I apologize for coming in late. But my only comment would be pertaining to the brick specifically. The blend you've chosen is a very dark blend and can quite often kind of seem really muddied. We use Mountain Blend a lot on projects I work on. Mm-hmm. And it's not really as representative of what you would typically see in that area, which is more of a traditional schoolhouse brick. If you look at the church, it's primarily a red blend with pops of the darker color versus a pretty dark blend all in. Mm-hmm. Was there any consideration of using a more red traditional brick?
So we're actually using forest blend and not mountain blend?
I'm sorry, that's what I meant to say. Mountain blend is a redder blend, that's the one I was thinking of. So like in this image, that definitely reads a lot redder than what's on the material board, and that is a lot more accurate than the redder one. So this is very typical of what the forest blend does look like, and it is very dark and it's very heavy. And my concern is with the fiber cement panels being darker, this building's going to feel really heavy, mm-hmm. and a little bit of disconnect from its surroundings. I don't think it needs to match the church, but I do think consideration of blending in with other bricks in the area would be a bit more appropriate.
So I guess we had chosen that more brown hue of brick to go with some of the warmer colors that we had chosen for the other elements of the facade, like the paint colors have more of that brownish kind of color, brown tan kind of thing going on. So we could look at how that mountain blend would work with those colors. It'd probably be worth also going up and holding those samples up to the church and see which one.
Yeah, well, and if you're working with mutual materials, they're really great at kind of tweaking their blends too. Yeah. So, I mean, you could always do a little bit of mix and match. I do think having pops of the darker bricks appropriate stylistically. Mm-hmm. So you guys can definitely specify percentages of brick type. Mm-hmm.
Happy to look at, concerned about that. I've seen some really washed up buildings where you're looking for blends that...
Yeah, we've had a couple buildings where they don't mix them that well and you get just patches.
Do you guys request a mock-up?
Yeah. But of course, it's all just how they mason on the, in the field, or pile of brick they're pulling it from. Yeah, we could, Mountain Blend is actually, I've got the two samples and that was kind of our second choice. And so we can look at that colorway instead. But they're fairly similar, their colors as well. So I don't know if that would hold up approval there.
Okay. I think it's. I mean, I think it's a comment to take under advisement as you finalize okay. your selections. Is what how I put it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a question on the. I'm looking at the G Street elevation where the interpretive panels are. Just beyond the interpretive panels, there's the kind of triangle of gray that's there. Is that just the raw cement? Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm thinking this just from driving by the site right now, which of course is a demolished site, but there's all those really, there's those swaths of concrete foundation that are there that are already tagged. Mm-hmm. So when I see a really inviting space like that, I kind of wonder if that's really inviting for people to do something there. So I don't know if there's any thought about doing something in that space besides just the raw cement.
So we do specify any treatment for any low masonry and concrete that's like graffiti and water repellent. So if someone does spray paint on it, you can wash it off.
Okay.
And building staff will ideally. And additionally, we will have some security cameras around the perimeter. So I don't think there's a high likelihood that someone would graffiti the main face with streetlights and everything. But I think compositionally, we would like to keep that as concrete, just so there is this kind of two separate masses on that G Street elevation. So like in 3D, it reads a whole lot. Or it helps to show what the interior space of those two things are. So like there's the residential kind of towers there, and then there's the garage pole. So it begins to speak to the interior programming.
Is it correct? Previously carried through the...
Yeah, previously the concrete did come through.
And so it's been... In,
so we brought that brick down.
To create sort of building units.
Yeah.
Okay. I really, that was feedback from the commission.
Yeah, and it looks a whole lot better with that, and it creates those two.
It looks like
really the recesses in the concrete, right? That was a carryover from the previous. Is that right? They're just going to have some rustication strips.
Yeah, there will be just some recess lines.
Yeah, so I don't think it in the picture looked like it was like, okay, here's a portrait. I can just, you know, that's inaccurate in the rendering. I think we said.
Okay. Is there some landscaping in front of the concrete?
Yeah.
So would that at some point maybe obscure the concrete that might deter the tagging?
Yeah, there will be some. It's fairly low. We don't have a whole lot of planar strip between the two, but there is. A small planting strip there.
Any more questions? There, I know that there's been some comments that I'm sure Mr. McKnight has been scribbling down as they've been made. So I don't know. I just want to make sure that we're giving any feedback that you have to Ruben as he's making his decision and as that project moves forward, given our kind of more advisory role in this case, which is a bit unusual for us.
I think I have what I need.
Okay. So the one thing that I would mention, because I see this a lot in the city now, is that for some reason, maybe it's my perspective, but with the new construction that's gone up in several of the kind of the neighboring area here down in Stadium, as well as a couple of the buildings up on Proctor, I have the feeling that it's almost as if they're one or two stories too high. There's nothing you can do about this. I know you're following zoning code, but I just wanted to kind of state this for the record and state this to Ruben. It seems like the scale of the buildings, and I know it's probably pushing the limits and the economics and all those things, but they seem like they're just, it's literally like a one or two stories. I see these buildings and think about them without that kind of top cap on and how they would fit better with the surroundings. This one, I think, you know, the concern for me being that it's right next to the church, and that I think will stand out when it's built. I think it will probably even more so accentuate that. In other places where it's residential neighborhoods, it still is evident. But you know, your roof line is almost at the same height as the bell tower. So I mean, it is. You know, to me, a bell tower is something that projects upward, and when you're at that same line of it, it's almost obscuring that and being obtrusive to it. So I know there's nothing that can be done about that, but I just wanted to make that statement. But I do thank you for, I wasn't at the last commission meeting when this was presented, so I do appreciate you taking in the commission's comments and being responsive to those.
The patio setbacks in this will sort of help mitigate that massing too.
Yeah, on the front end.
Yeah, the relationship with the church was one of the earliest discussions in this project.
Yeah. Okay. And you have everything you need.
I do.
Tonight. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We shall move on to preservation planning and board business. Do you want to? You do have a staff report. Okay.
Really brief.
Yeah, but I think it'd be good to set the context for this item. So. I will hand it over to you for the housing types in Tacoma Lake.
So the city is engaging further along in this affordable action housing strategy, AHAS. And is launching the At Home Tacoma project to evaluate diverse housing types and inclusionary zoning options throughout Tacoma. The intent is to increase housing supply, increase options, and housing choices throughout the city's neighborhoods. So at the last Landmarks Commission meeting, the commission moved to send a letter of comment to the Planning Commission. This is really a scoping hearing that they're doing at this point. They're trying to determine all of the different things that this should encompass and be concerned about. And so in response to that, Chair Bartoy and staff have collaborated on a letter to the Planning Commission sort of outlining some of the early thoughts and concerns or suggestions from the commission to address that. And so that is before the commission now. I think that the written comments are due by the 28th of February. And so obviously, I mean, this is a charter commission. You can probably submit comments when you want to, but
we want to make that clear.
Yeah. but at any rate, so we committed to presenting a letter to the commission for review and approval at this meeting. So that's what's before you now.
Yeah, and I'll just remark that you know, we had a little bit of discussion at the last meeting about that, and was trying to get in those items that were kind of put before us by different commissioners, and Ruben gave a lot of help to make things a little more specific on there. So I think it is kind of more of a general statement. Like Ruben said, we're at the beginning of this process and really trying to be partners in that process and not seem as oppositional, but seem as part of the solution to that process. So that was just kind of the thinking behind that wording. I don't know if anyone has any comments,
concerns. I have one comment. It's a lovely letter, very nice work. My only comment is that the last two paragraphs, the first two sentences are so similar that when I read the last paragraph, I thought I was reading a repeat of what I just read. The verbiage is very similar.
Mm-hmm. Last two.
Yes, the first two there and there are like very, very similar.
Key component.
Mm-hmm. I would suggest maybe nixing the first sentence of the third
paragraph.
I don't
disagree.
We believe.
Do you agree, though?
I do agree.
Starting with
the single negative.
Right. See what I did there?
So we have
gotta have some fun.
We have a striking of the first sentence of the third paragraph.
And so then it would just start with we believe that adaptive, so it just states what you believe.
Yeah, I think that's a strong concept to mm-hmm. lead with for the paragraph. And I also wanted to commend our chair and staff on hitting a lot of really important points mm-hmm. in this letter, particularly related to sustainability, and then the partnership tone that it strikes. I thought that was definitely achieved and definitely kind of opening of a dialogue as opposed to starting off on a critical foot. So I think it also a great, lovely letter, and proud that it's coming from this commission.
I had a few. I think there might be a couple missing words.
Okay.
So in the second paragraph, the last sentence where it says have been especially detrimental to unique character, I think it should be to the unique character.
Okay.
And then in the third paragraph, last sentence, we believe it essential for the present generation. Should it be we believe it is essential for the present generation?
You can keep. That makes sense as it is.
It is?
I think it does.
You believe it is essential?
I mean, I think either way would work.
Oh, okay.
We believe it essential sounds like something like a presidential speech or something.
We believe it should be
essential. Yeah, it sounds very important.
Sounds good. You should just change it to super duper important.
Strong feelings either way on that one?
I think it needs an is.
I'm fine either way.
Yeah, either way, it makes sense.
The is's are stronger, it sounds like, okay. In their feeling. So we can add it.
Is campaign.
We can add an is and stay out of the politics.
We don't talk about what the media is.
Right. This is what bipartisan politics looks like.
I also think it's a great letter. You did a great job. I appreciate the emphasis on avoiding demolition and sustainability. One suggestion I would have, and one concern I have, is in the third paragraph, let's see, about the fourth line, policies that encourage the creation of new units in existing buildings. That, I think, to a historic neighborhood, has a little bit of a bad connotation of beautiful homes being badly broken up into apartments. And at the same time, there are a lot of big old houses for which being converted into a duplex or a triplex or more might be the best use for it. So I guess I would sort of condition that creation of new units in existing buildings, either where appropriate or where it can be done consistently with historic guidelines or something that modifies that a little bit to not be just a blanket support of breaking up old homes into apartments, because that has led to sometimes the need for things like fire escapes on the side of the building or some exterior modifications to meet various building codes, you know, for multifamily. And so it can be disruptive. Like I say, at the same time, sometimes there are homes for which that really is the best use. They're too big, really, to be practical single-family homes. So I guess I would just condition that and maybe just to say where it can be, where it's consistent with historic guidelines or where it's appropriate or something like that.
Okay. Is there, and I think that the same concern was voiced in the second clause of that same sentence using the appropriate use on there. So I'm wondering if there's a smarter commissioner than I that can figure out how not to say appropriate twice in that sentence.
Practical.
But I hear that. Practical? Practical?
Policies that encourage the creation of new units in existing buildings.
It's so efficient.
Wow.
I used to use it a lot.
Respecting historical relevance?
I mean, I think it goes beyond historical, though. I would say appropriate is a better phrase for that concept, just because even if it's outside of the North Slope, which is designated, you know, where compatible maybe is a word that could be mm-hmm. used, you know, compatible with the building, compatible with this environs. Because I wouldn't want to limit it to just designated structures or districts.
Could you move the appropriate up and get rid of the comma and make it so it kind of, does that work? Policies that encourage
the appropriate creation of
I guess. You can say new units and existing buildings were appropriate and then mix appropriate and just say sensitive infill.
That sounds
good. There you
that's
go.
Great.
Yes.
That's great. That is lovely.
Word sniffing by committee. It's way to
go. I get the gist.
Otherwise, I'd be clicking my thesaurus.
Yeah. Literally.
Okay.
Literally.
Any others? No. Okay, fantastic. Thanks. I think all those changes look great. So I think we should.
We already voted on the letter.
Oh, we did. We voted on doing a letter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think that we probably don't need to vote on the letter. We'll get it changed up and signed and sent. And we'll even make their date.
Yep.
Even though we'll make it clear that we could do it after their date. Okay, fantastic.
I hope they listen to our meeting so they know that.
Everyone listens to our meetings. Oh, yeah. Be careful what you say. You'll end up in the TNC. Great, thank you, everyone. And then we have events and activities update.
I'm not going to read the list. I will note, though, that that you have a trivia night flyer here, and March 18th, Wednesday. The trivia nights are kind of popular if you know your Tacoma stuff. You could become famous in the pub.
I had a friend who won.
So I will say that you know,
I had a friend.
Preservation Month is coming up.
I knew the guy.
So mark your calendars for Preservation Month. We've got a lot of stuff going on. In fact, you know, Lauren's going to have a really, really busy spring, because we're also not only doing Preservation Month, but we are also preparing for the NAPC conference, which I know that all of you are going to go to and have a good time. And we're going to have some fun sessions, I think field sessions too, in various places around the region. Other piece of this, what was I going to say about that? That we also are in the process of bringing on an intern as well. So the commission should be meeting that person sometime in March. So,
and do we get, does the commission get free admissions in the conference?
We'll see what we can do.
Okay. Just wondering if that, how that was working out. Just wondering.
We can put you to work.
I think Lauren was working on that for us. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Are you part of a session?
we can probably address that, I'm sure.
Okay.
I mean,
I was just wondering. So it was brought up at a previous meeting.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I will follow up on that.
Okay.
And as you know, the NAPC is this gigantic bureaucracy, you know, full of administrators and many levels.
In a basement in Pittsburgh. Come on.
That one administrator.
Yeah. Right, thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. And I do not believe I have any chair comments, but I would respectfully defer to the vice chair if he has comments.
No, I think you covered them all.
Excellent. I thank everyone for their attendance this evening, and have a wonderful rest of your evening.
Yep. Thank you.
We are adjourned.